Good morning. On this wonderfully foggy, kind of a little bit damp, misting this morning, but it's also cooler today, which I appreciate. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of taking part in a wedding, which was actually on the same day as Judy's and my anniversary. So it had a lot of particular meaning. And anytime there's a wedding or special occasions that go on, it always brings me back to things that I've experienced in my life and what's important. If I asked the question, and I would pull out a couple of names in the congregation, and I would say, how well do you know each other? How well do you think you would do? You're giggling, Melanie. Just for example, I'm not going to embarrass, I don't want to embarrass him, but Tony Barkley. How many of you know Tony? Just put your hand up. Okay. How many of you know where he lives? Okay, getting a little, okay. How many of you know how long, who he's married to? All right, good. Good to see this, okay. How many know how many years they were married? Okay, we got one or two. Now we're getting a little thinner here. Okay. One of the things about who we are as a community, and one of the things that we hear in the readings for today has to deal with how well we know who God is and how intimate he desires for us to be with him. And one of the things that we learn in that is how well we know each other as well. I think, you know, for me, in reflecting on 11 years of marriage and in the way in which Judy and I met and the events that led up to our marriage, our wedding day, were special moments, as continues to be now, as we are now husband and wife. But in many of those occasions, we actually gathered together and we would have dinner, right? I mean, that's often a thing that we will do to date. We go out, we might go out to dinner. And you have time, and you sit, and you talk, and you are able to kind of take away all those things that have impacted you during the day, and you can just focus on that person. One of the most intimate things we can do with each other is to eat together. And I watched yesterday at the wedding, and this beautiful setting, and the reception, and everything just set up in a certain way, and you could sense the excitement and the experience of love, not only among the couple that were married, but among the wedding party themselves and the families. And it's a special time. And there's laughter, and there's dancing, and there's all these kinds of things that happen. And, you know, it brought me back to, again, my own experience with that. And a lot of the people that were there at that wedding are already, they're no longer with us. You know, friends and family members who have died, and I remember them and keep them close to my heart because they were very special to me. Just as your friends and your family are very special to you, and in those moments that you encounter them and you take time to know them, one of the things that, you know, that is important in a community such as ours is that we do understand who we are, that we understand that there is a whole lot of experiences and wisdom and just the backgrounds of who all of us are. I think one of the key things about being a pastor is knowing your flock, obviously, and also knowing the gifts in which your flock offer and being able to kind of get them steered into the right place. And that's something that's important for all people, for our church leadership, and for everyone, and for even ourselves, that when we realize that I have this gift that I can offer in this community in order to further the love of Jesus Christ, I offer it. But the only way that I can do that is to know who it is that I need to connect with, to be steered in that direction, So hopefully, if you have that mind frame and that understanding, that you would, you know, if you're interested in music, that you would know enough to come and approach Jonathan, or if you're interested in evangelism, that you would approach Pastor Marcy, or if you're interested in teaching faith formation or learning more what it is to deepen your relationship with God, that you would talk to Sharon. And if you just don't know, talk to any of the staff, talk to any of the members, and hopefully we know who we are well enough that we can lead people to where they need to be. Today in our Old Testament reading, we hear from Proverbs, which we don't always hear an awful lot. Proverbs is put in the form of the feminine. It's wisdom is seen as a woman. And in this experience that we are reading this day, it is about a woman who is preparing a grand feast, who's doing everything to set it all up, to put it together, to prepare the food, to make sure it is in an appropriate place. It starts with the design of the building in which the meal is going to take place. And people are offered to come and to partake. Now, in wisdom literature, it's understood that whenever there's anything that goes, that centers around a table, in Jewish understanding, that means about gathering together to learn, to grow. And when in wisdom, when it talks about hunger, it's not just about the desire for food, but it is the desire to learn, to know more, to understand of that God provides much more than just our daily bread, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And so you are invited to come to this table, to come and learn and grow and understand. But it is God who sets this table before you in the form of wisdom. And Jesus takes it one step further as we continue this dialogue in the Gospel of John about being the bread of heaven. And today, his words will cause trouble among those who hear him because they don't quite understand what he is saying, especially when he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which is something that is just abhorrent to any faithful Jewish member of the community. But Jesus is saying something here about being able to be a part of his life in such a way that we deepen our understanding of what God provides for us in this life of Jesus Christ. It is something that is not to be taken for granted, but that we continue to remind ourselves every time we gather here on Sunday mornings or wherever it is that we may gather to worship God, that how much love God pours out for us in this form of Jesus. When people fail to hear his call to come to an understanding through the prophets and through those who would teach, and they would just simply disregard whatever words were offered, and they oftentimes were upset when the words were given, so they would kill the prophets. And Jesus comes along and shows us truly what it is to know a God who loves. And he offers us it in the form of a meal. Now, I can remember back probably in the very beginning of my ordained ministry, the Lutheran Church in many situations were basically celebrating communion once a month. And I would imagine to those early Christians that we hear in Acts, who it says on the Lord's Day, they broke bread and they shared, they were celebrating the Eucharist whenever they gathered, that the concept of having communion once a month would have been kind of strange to them, because why would you want to deny yourself the opportunity to know intimately Jesus, this Jesus who is the bread of heaven, this Jesus who gives us what we need to sustain our life every day? But one of the common complaints that I would hear among parishioners and among the people of the time was, by having the Eucharist every Sunday, it loses its uniqueness, its special quality. But in a way, that's like saying to your kids, don't come except for maybe once a month so I can appreciate you. You know? I don't want to forget, so let's just not do this very often. And to me, the desire to be close to my Lord is so great that I would take the opportunity any time, any day, to celebrate this very special meal that we are about to join into. It's not something that loses its uniqueness, its special qualities. Like me, who remembers my own wedding reception and the people that were there and the celebration and the fun and the enjoyment that we have. And Judy and I, once in a while, will say, that was a really fun day, wasn't it? And we giggle and we laugh about some of the occasions and things that were happening and to see, you know, remembering people who are just having a grand old time. It's the same thing when we come today. That Eucharist is no different than realizing, as the Israelites did the first time in the middle of the wilderness when they were starving and they were hungry, and then God provided them with what was necessary in order to survive their wilderness experience. And he provided the manna from heaven, and he gave them quail to eat. And they were filled, and they were full, and they were able to continue their journey. But Jesus says God has not ceased giving that manna. It continues to come to this day, and we receive it in the form of Jesus Christ. So when the bread and the wine is offered to you, it doesn't matter the quantity of it, or even if the bread is maybe a little crusty, or it's maybe not as fresh as you would like it to be, or it doesn't taste like bread from Panera or whatever else, it still is Jesus. Luther reminds us that when we ask this question, how has this bread and this wine become Jesus? He just simply says, it's a mystery. We don't know. We just take Jesus at his word when he says, this is my body which is given for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. And we see it much more than simply something symbolic. It is something much deeper than that. It is Jesus himself who's offering himself to us in such a way that we are strengthened and that we are given that assurance that we are forgiven and that we are restored. And just as we need food for our physical bodies, this is the food that we need that's necessary for our understanding in everlasting life. To be strengthened in spirit, to come to know God in a very intimate way. Why wouldn't you want to come to communion so that Jesus, who is there with us, is offering himself for us? It does not lose its specialness. And even if you tend to forget, Jesus is still there. So as we've been going through the series of the Bread of Life from John, we are reminded, as Jesus continues to pull the listeners in deeper and deeper into a relationship that helps us to want to know Jesus even more, to long that we strive to study and to learn and to grow, that we strive to pray and simply ask for God's Spirit to move us where we need to go. Too often we feel that we need to have this instantaneous gratification. You know, oh, here's my new friend. But unless you take time to know who that friend is that individual really a true friend? Is it somebody that you would spend a lot of time, and if somebody that it was in need of help, that you would reach out and give to them? Is this somebody that you could say, I've known this person for so many years, and I can tell you exactly what it is that they understand and how they believe? You know, too often people look at others as just simply numbers, and I mean we're geared towards that because you know you have phone numbers and you have all your insurance ID numbers and your social security numbers, and that's how our government knows us. But and even in the church we can say what our offering envelope number is. But truly, it is about knowing who each of us are, and having a desire to be able to be in relationship and to strengthen that knowledge of who we are, that we together grow deeper in the love of Christ. All too often when people just come up and they just ask you, you know, if you are you a member of the Christian church? Have you found Jesus? Are you born again? That rings shallow for me because they're not really interested in knowing who I am. They're just looking for a number for Christ. I saved another one. When you truly are about the work of evangelism, it is about taking time to know the person who you would like to bring to the community of Christ. It takes time to hear their hurts and their pains and their dreams and their desires, and for God to offer the right moment and the right time where you might just say to them, "Hey, I have a place that I think you would really enjoy. Would you like to come to me with me to a Bible study or to worship or to whatever it happens to be? Because we have a unique family that I'd like to introduce you to." It's about getting to know each other, just as God desires to know us and that we may know Him. God loved us so much, He gave us His Son, Jesus. And so today, again, I remind you as you come forward to receive this very special gift, to understand that Jesus is there. He's here right now, offering us all that we need, feeding us with a food that does not grow stale or grow old, nor does it ever diminish, but lives within us. Christ within us thrives and grows. Come. Learn about this Jesus, just as we learn about each other, so that we may truly feast on this bread of heaven. Amen.